It's a three-week period. There are a lot of people on pain. And, you know, so I apologize, but I will get it on. By tomorrow, I'll get both of these on.
I heard an advertisement on the radio for the Cupola Center. Are you affiliated with that?
Not affiliated, but I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
I started learning there.
That's in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one here, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We will be starting in about 2 minutes.
Tamid gam
sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Netzach, which means eternal, or an attribute of Netzach is eternal victory. It's also starting tonight in the month of Av. This will be the verse that we connect to the Tikkun HaNefesh and the letters of the month, which will be Kaf and Tet. I'm just giving you that information now because I try and give it to you in time to make the transition. Hasim Kadosh Birov Tuha Nael Adatah Chetkuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin. This sequence of letters connects you to the sphere of Hod. Hod has a connection to, as an essence of thanksgiving, of appreciation. And it's always good to appreciate what we have and to ask for more, because the life force wants to give us more, always more than we even desire. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. This sequence of letters helps speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav sadiyutach. The letters of the month, Chet, which created the constellation Sartan, the crab, and the Taf, which created the planet Lavana, the moon. The first two letters, Kuf and Shin, has a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot, and is an attribute of perfection. Vav, Tzadi Yud Taf, has a gematria of 506, the same gematria as the first verse and the phrase Ahavat Hinam, love for no reason, unconditional love. The essence of this message is that perfection can only be achieved through the processes of love. And the last verse we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kibod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. And I forgot on purpose at the seventh verse during the month of Tammuz, and in the fourth verse during the month of Av, we will be connecting to the Tikkun HaNefesh, which is the chart with all the different tetragrammatons on it. So you should be looking at that chart in the order that you've been taught. And if you make a mistake, as I did, which is why I did it on purpose this time, if you make a mistake, it's okay to do it even after you say Baruch Shem, because you can always say it again. So once you finish with the Tikkun HaNefesh, please say the eighth verse silently one more time. Again, I will say it out loud. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Now I'm going to read a verse from the Zohar. I have chosen to read from the Parasha of Hazinu, section 1. The Akavad, the Pahi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kudenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kudeneihu. The Akaved, Moshe Okach Leho Israel Birchimuta Havo Ko Milo Diktiv Ki Am Kadosh Atal Adonai Elohecha Uvacha Bachar Hashem Elohecha Liot Lo Le'am V'Gomer Banim Atem Vashem Elohechem V'Atem Hadvekim Vashem V'Alda Shemata V'Ko Hashem Elohecha. Though Moses reproved Israel, all his words were with love, as written, "For you are a holy people to Hashem your Elohim." Hashem your Elohim has chosen you to be a special people to himself. You are the children of Hashem your Elohim. But you that did cleave, therefore obey the voice of Hashem your Elohim, because Hashem loved you. This is the meaning of "open to be my sister, my love," a verse from Shir HaShirim, spoken affectionately. On its surface, it seems clear, but to give you some background and some deeper understanding, Moshe waited 40 years to reprove the Jewish people. It's a whole lesson in and of itself about how we view what happens to us. We are taught by the Baal Shem Tov to realize that we create everything that happens to us. And anybody who comes into our life, we have a correction with. We have a relationship with. That relationship can be cleansed so the person can move on and we can move on, or that relationship can be connected on a stronger level, sometimes on a negative stronger level, sometimes on a positive stronger level. It's all how we perceive them and how we perceive ourselves and how we act when we experience what we experience from that person. Moshe waited 40 years to say, "Guys, you screwed up. We could have gone into the land. Mashiach could have been here. I would have been Mashiach, and you screwed up." Now, he is talking to the people of the second generation. People died. The whole generation died in the desert. So who is he talking to? And he speaks to them as if they were there at all of the miracles in Egypt and all of the miracles going through. So again, we get some insights into reincarnation from this. What else is built into this phrase? How we judge other people. We are supposed to judge other people leniently. In fact, if someone comes up to you and says, "You know so-and-so, he is planning to kill you. You can't believe it." You are to act to protect yourself, just in case it might be true, but you cannot believe it. You're only acting to protect yourself, not that you believe it will be true. Very fine line and very difficult to understand, but very important for the bringing of Mashiach is that we learn these laws of Lashon Hara, evil talk, which is only truthful speech. It's not that somebody's telling a lie.
It's not slander.
It's not slander. Lashon Hara is not slander. Slander is a whole other issue. This is truthful speech with the consciousness that you will think less of the person being spoken about or more of the person being spoken by. All of consciousness is what goes into it. You go up to somebody and say, that's really a lovely shirt. Are you complimenting them? Are you saying to somebody listening, "How gross, the shirt is just to draw attention to this person"?
It's kind of sarcastic.
So it's a sarcastic thought. But even if it's not said sarcastically, what is your consciousness? What are you trying to accomplish by making the statement? The intention, the kavanah, is always. What we learn in Kabbalah is there is nothing but intention. And the action itself, both must be done. But one without the other, it's a body without a soul. a soul without a body. Soul without a body cannot be seen, cannot be connected to. It's not revealed. A body without a soul is dead. There's no action, even if you perceive it moving around, like the chicken without its head. It's still dead. So, today we promoted the class as a question and answer session. I am prepared to move on to the subjects of the 72 names of God if we don't have enough questions and answers. And that applies to you people on the conference call as well. To ask a question, just dial *6, and that will unmute your phones so that you can ask a question. Please remember to mute your phones right afterwards in case you're playing music in the background, because that will then be recorded. Are there any questions?
I'm not too clear on the point what you said, that when a generation died out in the desert, didn't he start from square one? They had no knowledge of what transpired before. Is it a difference?
That this is not a true statement, but it is true for most people. So let me give you some background in the history of the world on a more detailed level. Not everybody agrees, but most people agree that there was a first man and first woman called Adam and Eve. Every soul that ever appears in this world was part of that overall soul of Adam and Eve. Each of us, each of these souls, participated in the sin, whatever that action was, because it's not really clear. They participated in this sin. The result of this sin was to lower spiritually and physically. Adam, at the time of the sin, was over 100 feet tall. After the sin, he was 10 feet tall.
Was it lowered in the physical sense?
In both the physical and the spiritual sense. He was lowered. When he was 100 feet tall, he had all five levels of his soul included in his body. After he sinned, there were only three levels of the soul. The other two were outside of his body. So it affected spiritual worlds as well as physical worlds. Now, we go through 10 generations to Noah. In those 10 generations, all of the souls incarnated into this world for their first time. And they had the opportunity to correct what they needed to correct to return us to the level of Adam. And then together do the action that Adam and Eve had to do, which was the two commandments. One commandment was to be fruitful and multiply, and the negative commandment was do not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Those are the corrections of Adam and Eve, all of us. Once the tree was eaten from, the fruit was eaten, then we are given other mitzvot, which I'll go into. But in these first 10 generations, every soul incarnated up until the generation of the flood, the generation of Noah, and none of us succeeded. Some of us succeeded for themselves, but not for the quantum consciousness. Hanoch ben Yared succeeded for himself and became a helpmate, became an angel, in order to help in the process of correction that our world represents. Noah was given seven mitzvot. Those seven mitzvot apply to every human being that came after him. Noah could have been the Mashiach. He was a reincarnation of Adam. But the generation was not positive. had not completed its correction. And he, representing that, was, as the Torah says, he was a Sadiq in his generation. He wasn't a Sadiq in all generations. Or there's commentary both ways about that discussion. So Noah, from Noah to Abraham, another 10 generations, we have people who were able to bring the Mashiach, able to bring the full correction, and again did not succeed. Abraham was the first of a line that, from his point forward, not everybody could bring the Mashiach. Not everybody could achieve the correction. His line became, through six generations to Moshe, his line became the Jewish nation. The people of the Jewish nation have the responsibility to bring correction, to achieve correction, to bring the Mashiach. They have the ability to draw metaphysical energy. That is no longer true for the other nations. Now, why? Because they were given their chance in the two previous incarnations, and they blew it. So now, what God was saying in his mercy, this task is too hard for the majority of the world. So let's give it to people and give them additional energy to be able to achieve it. So at Mount Sinai, you've heard the Midrash that God hung the mountain over the Jewish nation and said, accept the Torah or I drop the mountain. And this is free will, of course. But it's understanding that with the acceptance of the Torah, Hashem injected an additional energy, additional soul, additional capability of achieving the correction. He doesn't take away free will. So each person has that choice. But the only group is the Jewish nation, whatever that means, to bring the correction. Getting back to your question, or keeping the going of your question, all of the souls were present in the generation of the flood, just like all of the souls were present through the 10 generations leading there, but they all weren't there in each generation. But in the generation of the flood, all of the souls were there. In the generation of Moshe, all of the Jewish souls were there. All those that received from Sinai, and even those who weren't, like us, who weren't it. We were at Sinai, both in our body and outside. Everything was at Sinai receiving the Torah. When the generation of the desert, generation, it's called Dor De'ah, the generation of knowledge, that generation included all of the souls, the Jewish souls, that were in existence from Noah. So that was the... So the three times that the Jewish souls incarnated was in Adam, in the generation of the flood, and in the generation of the desert. Okay, you are given three chances to get it right. When you don't, you split into six. And that's how people grow in this world and how we go from 600,000 to 6.5 billion in our generation. Now, throughout time, throughout our history, we have constantly had reincarnation. During the period of Purim with Esther and Mordecai, we achieved Mashiach, but not every soul was present on earth, and therefore it didn't manifest as the ultimate Mashiach. These are just different understandings that the Kabbalah gives us based on the teachings of reincarnation.
Reincarnation is that a cycle, like
Gilgul? Gilgul is the Hebrew word. Gilgul means wheel. It's a wheel. You come into this world, you are given an opportunity to correct what you have to do to correct, and then you die if you didn't correct it, or you die if you did correct it. If you did correct it, you are cleansed through Gehinnom, through what would be translated as hell, but that's a wrong translation. And if you didn't, you'd reincarnate back into this world. It's not really recycling. It's a wheel of cycles. But it's like a helix. A helix is not a wheel that returns to the same place. It returns to the same place slightly elevated. That's a helix in our DNA sequence.
Yeah.
So we learn from that this whole idea of what is a Gilgul. It's a wheel, but the wheel is different from one cycle to the next, slightly elevated. The soul that came last lifetime had 613 parts. The soul. That, some of those parts corrected. So maybe only 612 of those returned as you this time. But those 612 is not exactly the same as what came last time. You are still you, you are still that soul, you still have those connections, you still can access the information about what you did wrong. But
how would you know what you can't know what you did in previous life?
Yes, you can. You can through various techniques, Kabbalistic techniques, Kabbalistic astrology, Hebrew astrology will give you some insights. Your name will give you some insights. And there are many other ways to know what you did wrong. Most people aren't. That's why I teach what I teach, is to get this information out to people. Yes?
What is the other Kabbalah view of Shia? What Shia is the isotopic translate? What are the days of the Mashiach?
There is a recording on the website, and the title of the recording is Three Mashiachs.
Three?
Three. I suggest you listen to that, because to answer your question is a minimum of about 4 hours.
Okay.
That recording is only 1.5, so... It gives you some understanding of what is Mashiach. I can, briefly, Mashiach is on two levels. Every human being needs to bring his personal Mashiach, meaning he has to arrive at a level of consciousness that he will choose not to die. We are in a generation that has that choice. Previous generations didn't. How can I prove that? Never believe a word I say. Prove it to yourself as you study Kabbalah. We live in a generation that no longer has to die, chooses to die or chooses to stay.
Dying, you mean die in the physical sense.
In the physical sense, because the soul never dies. The soul is always cleansed to its ultimate state of perfection, which is what Mashiach represents. The quantum Mashiach represents the vessel, all of the souls cleansed to the point of total revelation of the light of God in the physical world. That's what Mashiach means. And that process will take three different Mashiachs. There will be some overlap between them, meaning it can be that one comes, dies, and another one comes and stays, manifests, and starts to live the 1,000 years. Or it can be that one comes, overlaps the coming of the second one, and they have interaction, he doesn't have to die, and all that comes through. And then there is discussion that all of that is on a consciousness level, and that they're not people.
Well, a question, going back to, let's see, kind of always made back my mind. When Kennedy was assassinated, allegedly by Lee Harvey Oswald, he immediately got killed right afterwards.
Correct.
Now, does that tell you something from his ethnic, ethical couple? And when he had a mission to perform, and he performed a mission to kill the president?
Well, let's start over. The question has to do with President Kennedy's death and Lee Harvey Oswald dying immediately after being assassinated by, or killed by Jack Ruby, and all of that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, as the Talmud says, we'll wait for Eliyahu to get the truth, because he will know. There are ways to find out this information today by being meditating, by being spiritual, by asking the question. But then I have to ask you the question. How does this knowledge help you correct yourself?
It doesn't really.
So why ask the question?
Right, because it's irrelevant.
It's not that it's irrelevant, because there's a reason that people are interested in the answer. So we have to understand, what is the light, what is the goodness in the question? Why do people have this hunger to know? We need to understand that. Once we understand that, then we no longer have to get the answer, because we've elevated the spark that's in the question. So it's not a question that I have truly any knowledge to be able to answer. It's not a question that truly interested me as it has you for 40, 50 years now. So there is a reason why you have this question. It's something that tells you something about yourself. You need to delve into it, and your affinity with other people who have this question. Just like there are people who have questions about UFOs, which is written about in the Zohar. Everything is in the Torah. Everything is in the Zohar. You just have to have the desire to learn. And once you have that desire, it's all. Eventually, whenever you ask a question, the answer will always be there. Because the cause is the answer, not the question. When you ask a question, you create a vessel to reveal the answer. The cause is always spiritual. The cause of a question is the answer that wants to be revealed. It's a very deep concept to think about. I hope I've answered your question on a level that you're willing to accept for the time now.
Yeah, it doesn't clear it up, but I mean...
No, it doesn't clear it up, but it sends you on a path that if you start to ask the question I've asked you, and you start to receive the answer to that question, you will get a sufficient answer to know that I'm ready to move on. Are there any other questions? Yeah, no, I understand. It doesn't really matter who killed Kennedy and why. That's all history, and history will come out. And ultimately, at the resurrection of the dead, we will ask Jack Kennedy who he offended, and he will tell you, because we won't lie anymore. And I can see that Bach is getting upset.
Oh, you want to say something?
No, I like that.
Okay.
Relaxing.
No. What I'm saying, now, the raising of the dead, which is a Jewish concept, a Jews, and the Messiah, are they related or separate entities, or...
It's an excellent question. The question is the Mashiach and the Tefiyat HaMetim related, or are they separate? And the answer is both. The ultimate end goal is to the revelation of Mashiach on a quantum consciousness level. I don't know what those words mean, but they sound good. Now let's look at what those means. There is a process to reach the quantum consciousness level. There is a process to reach the revelation of Mashiach. That process includes three steps. The ingathering of the exiles, the resurrection of the dead, and the establishment of the Mashiach and a Torah state and all involved with that. When I'm letting the sirens go by. So the answer is they are separate. The resurrection of the dead is something that will be separate from the ingathering of the exiles. They don't have to happen at the same time, or they might. We don't know. We have prophecies that tell us the order at which they will do. And the prophecies say they will be 40 years separating the three steps for a total of 120 years. There are statements by Kabbalists of the 20th century that says the First and Second World Wars was part of the War of Armageddon, Gog the Magog, which is also part of that process that needs to happen. There are other prophecies that say we don't have to have this war, but we must have the resurrection of the dead. We must have the ingathering of the exiles. Whether that ingathering of the exiles is both a physical ingathering or a mental consciousness ingathering is something else. Every day that I put tefillin on, in order to do the mitzvah of tefillin, I must be in Israel. And yet every rabbi will tell you, lay tefillin every day. And you say to the rabbi, but I have to be in Israel. And he says, usually we'll say, don't bother me, lay tefillin. But if he starts to read and he learns that the Rambam, his guru, excuse my expression, a sage of unbelievable power and strength, the Rambam, who is the guru of logic and of physicality and Peshat level of discussion, and he is saying, to lay tefillin, you must be in Israel. Now, how do we understand this? And the Kabbalists come and explain that he's absolutely correct. But Israel is a consciousness. And when you lay tefillin, put your consciousness into being with and together and in unity with the land. All of that is very difficult to understand because we live in a physical world that says, I'm here, and Israel is 13,000 miles away. But we also live in a generation where the scientists teach us that if I want to walk on the beach in Florida, just thinking about it puts my footprints in the sand. And that tomorrow when I arrive off the jet and walk in the sand, I'm walking in my own footprints that I put in place with my consciousness yesterday. So it's talking about the integration of time, space, motion, and soul, levels that are not discussed. And I don't mean to confuse you in this discussion with these terms, but this is what Kabbalah will eventually cause you to understand. This is part of the change, is to understand the unity of everything. Not just what's physical, not just what you observe, because we know that's an illusion. But it will cause you to integrate what you observe, what you sense with that sixth sense that you can't quantify physically, and many other levels. This is what Mashiach is. This is what Kabbalah is attempting to teach you to start the process. And I hope you'll continue it. When I leave San Diego for New Mexico, I'll still be doing these classes. I won't be here. There'll be a computer screen here. You'll be looking at me. Is there a difference?
Not really.
But yes and no. Every person I talk to says there is. For me, there isn't. Am I so crazy? Trust me, I am that crazy.
No, they're called virtual reality.
Yes.
They're making a big deal about it now.
Exactly. So as our technology improves, all of these things will become more and more easily understood.
These concepts
are from the moment of creation. These concepts come from Hashem. They were in the thought of creation.
So now modern technology is an application of these concepts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Our technology is an application of these concepts, of spiritual laws and physical laws, natural physical laws, natural spiritual laws. the spiritual system has the same types of laws as we have here. If you cross the street against a red light, you're about to be run over by a car.
Well, that's
a physical law. There's also a spiritual law. You cross the street against the red light, like says, do not eat non-kosher food. Okay, that's an example of a street that's got, you got a red light on. Does it, do you cross the street, do you die? If they actually did perfect studies, they would see that physically people who eat non-kosher food die earlier than people who don't. If they're Jewish people. If they're non-Jewish people, they won't. But we don't know who has a Jewish soul and who doesn't. That's another question we have to wait till Mashiach and ask Eliyahu.
What is a
Jewish soul? It's a desire to receive that is has affinity with other desires to receive, then, and it has a task, an action that it must do to correct the world. That's what a Jewish soul is. And the soul from Edom has exactly the same thing, except its task is different. And its desire to receive is different than the Jewish soul. And the Ishmaelite soul has exactly the same description, except its task is different. Its process is different. We have 72 nations. The world cannot be completed without that nation doing its work, spiritual work, do its spiritual work so that the revelation of God in the physical world can manifest. That's called Mashiach.
Isn't the concept of Mashiach is kind of a thing of hope? The concept of hope, keep the spirit up, keep hope.
The question is, does the concept of Mashiach have the spirit of hope? Is there something to look forward to? I'm not sure how to answer your question, so let me bend the rules a bit. What is hope?
Hope is the desire to achieve your goal. What?
My goal is to achieve my correction. I know I will to achieve my correction.
Right.
There's no question. I will achieve my correction. I will do whatever it is. I will do it either with pain and suffering, or I will do it out of free choice. But a guaranteed, the world will not end until Hanoch Ben Yaakov achieves his correction. And that applies to every other 6.5 billion members of the human race. Each of us has a job to do, spiritual job to do. We will do it, whether it's with pain and suffering or through free choice. That's a given. So now, what's hope?
Achieving it.
It's guaranteed. I'm going to achieve it. So is hope achieving it with free choice as opposed to pain and suffering? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. If hope is achieving it with free choice, then yes, Mashiach has hope, because there are two ways for the Mashiach to manifest. One is with pain and suffering, and one is with through free choice, without pain and suffering, without the chaos of war and hunger and abuse and everything else that we see in our world, unfortunately. So yes, there is hope, and it is associated with Mashiach. The hope is that we will achieve this consciousness through the process of free choice. We will choose right actions that manifest the Mashiach instead of choosing actions that manifest war. That's our choice. And that's really the message that I have, why I'm traveling around teaching.
Well,
is because people don't understand this message. The rabbis have veiled this message in religious words, and people do not react well with religious concepts. We have gone so far spiritually that religion isn't talking to the majority of the people.
There's a
clear communication breakdown. And my message is clearly, hopefully I'm getting it across, my message is you have free choice to bring hope, to bring peace, to bring the beauty of Mashiach through doing right actions that will allow you to reach that level without pain and suffering, without chaos in your life.
Well, there's an old cliche, there's an easy way and there's a hard way.
And that cliche actually comes from the Zohar. It's one of the verses in the Zohar. Yeah. Most of the adages that you'll quote, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, from the Zohar. Most of those adages are direct quotes out of the Zohar. Most people don't. We've hidden the Zohar for 2,000 years, you know, and people aren't aware of what depth of wisdom is available, and that's what I'm asking you to make the connection to. I hope you signed up for Daily Zohar and are getting that connection once a day on your email. It takes you 2 minutes, scan it, read it, whatever. It's about the letters being given the opportunity to do their work. They will assist you in you doing your work. Yes. Oh, wait, well, wow. That's, you start to see, because there's no coincidence. The reason it's being done now is because the energy, the essence of the universe, what we talked about, it comes in on Sunday. Okay, well, what's come in today is the energy associated with Devarim. What does Devarim mean? Words. Read today's parasha weekly email and you'll see the connection. I reread it this morning and I'm just amazed that I said something. I mean, you know, I never know what I say. I really don't. But it's very powerful. Any other questions?
No,
It's a little much. So it is, and I apologize for that. I don't mean to overburden you with this. But the purpose of this class being questions and answers is you've had 3 weeks of information. Hopefully you're starting to work on it. You're starting to make that happen. Those who don't, that's okay. It's called free choice. There is no coercion in spirituality, a major, major spiritual law. It cannot be. It cannot be that Hashem hung a mountain over the Jewish nation and said, accept the Torah or I drop the mountain. That's coercion. It cannot be. So how do we understand the Midrash? Most people say, oh, okay, let's move on. You have to think. You have to wake up. So the whole idea, take it step by step, ask the questions, make the connections. I'm here, while I'm here, physically utilize that. That's why I set this class up as a question and answer, so that you will start to get these understandings. Because starting next, on Wednesday, we'll talk about the 72 names of God, which should totally blow your mind. This is how Moses parted the Red Sea. Wait a second. Moses didn't part the Red Sea. The Bible says there was an east wind and God parted the Red Sea. But that's not what it says. That's the corruption that has come through the church and through other sources. Go read the original through the Kabbalists. And it gets clarified. these are the tools that change and allow us to change physicality. These are the tools that let us push the button on the TV remote and change the channel, change the movie that we are in to be one with less chaos. Now, we need to understand that there's cause and effect. When we push the button and we change the movie, what did we cause? What is the effect? We caused a change. What is the effect of that change? Is that effect what we want? These are part of the way of understanding the Kabbalists and how they see the world. Now, in our generation, there are protection shields from using those names inappropriately. But you will eventually reach...
What do you mean by that?
The E equals MC squared. You're familiar with the formula?
Yeah.
It's a minor blimp it's a pimple compared to the power involved in the 72 names of God. It's literally the amount of energy that is being utilized by the 72 names of God versus E equals MC squared is the relationship of the spiritual to the physical. There's no comparison in quantum, in size, in power. But we have a protection shield, so we can't use it incorrectly. Thank God. That's the mercy. Because otherwise, we blow up the world.
You mean to say that the Adam, putting the Adam, release the energy, that is, there's a spiritual connection to that?
The cause is spiritual. Why does the Adam come together? Why do those three components come together? Why do the thousands of subcomponents come together to make up those three components? There's the string theory. You know, there's strings come together. They're not talking about why or what's the consciousness of why they came together. They're just saying the difference between iron and uranium is because the atom that is formed from them has different strings. Why? But all strings are the same based on the theory. So why do they have different strings if all strings are the same? Because there's a different consciousness in the strings.
But there's an atom. What keeps the atom together? Holds it together at this little...
There are four forces. The four forces that hold the atom together. The physicists have defined them, giving you formulas for them. Those four forces are the Yud, the K, the Vav, and the K. Why are there four forces? Why are there four letters in the Tetragrammaton? What's the spiritual cause? Yud, K, Vav, K. Ultimately, that is the cause of the four forces in the atom.
Keep the atom together because...
Correct. And ultimately, what is that? It's the consciousness of God wanting to be revealed in a merciful way. God wants to share with you goodness. That's all. That's everything. There is nothing else beside that. God thinks of you to share more with you than you are ready to receive. So he knows you're not ready to receive it, so he'll bring you to a place where you can cleanse yourself in order to receive more. What is that place? That's the guy at work who yells at you. What is that place? That's an ex-wife who's constantly bickering at you. Whatever. Okay, it's how you respond to these opportunities in our life that cleanses you. And when you achieve that cleansing, you now are able to receive more from the Creator.
I was told years ago, the Holocaust represented a cleansing to your soul. Is that some kind of ability?
There have been discussions both in the non-Kabbalistic areas and the Kabbalistic areas that without the Holocaust, in the frame of reference of our world, the state of Israel would not have come into being. And so the cause of that on the physical level was the Shoah, the Holocaust. There have been these discussions, and there have also been discussions that said it didn't have to happen. If people had changed, if the rabbis had taught people what was going on, just like I'm teaching you now. You, if you were born after the Shoah, and you were born into a Jewish home, you died in the Shoah.
Well, yeah, I, my circumstances...
Look at the face.
Yeah,
look at the face.
She doesn't know she's a different generation.
No, I'm saying it. I'm saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anybody born after 1946, 45, 46, 47, in that range, anybody born after that, who was born into a Jewish home, who was afterwards, has it was born, they died in the Shoah in some way. Okay.
I was born in 39.
Then it doesn't apply to you. You may have died in the Shoah, you may not.
But I was in America now. But
who knows where you were in last lifetime? Maybe you were in Australia.
But
maybe you were in South America in a non-Jewish home. Who knows where you were in last lifetime? This lifetime, you have a job to do. And part of that job is to find out what you did wrong last time. So, the tools are in Kabbalah to learn that. Ask the questions.
Because my family circumstances changed a little bit.
I understand what you imply without going into details. I understand what you're saying. The point is that's true for everybody. If you've ever seen a picture, the camera of the sperm attacking the egg, it's not attacking, wrong word, but sperm attacking the egg. It's not that it latches onto it. The first sperm there attempts to gather, penetrate it. And then all the other sperm assist it in its penetration. Why? Because each sperm is connected to a soul. And that soul knows the more people who come, the faster the process can take place.
It's
not odds. The more people who are drawn into this world, the faster the process can take place, because there's more opportunity in the physical world. There's the only place that there's an opportunity to make change. Spiritual worlds don't make change that affects all the worlds, only in the physical world, and ultimately only on the level of man. I burden you guys. I've tired you out.
No. Another point I had to bring out. Hitler, attempts on his life, and I watch his history over and over again, were hundreds of times attempts on his life were made, and they all failed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, is there a reason for this?
There's a reason for everything. And the reason is always spiritual. So I'll give you a question. The question is about the man from Germany. Was he real? Was he not real? What, all of the things that applied to his life, what is to be believed, what isn't? So ultimately, the Zohar teaches us that there are negative entities that manifest as part of the quantum consciousness of man. And the history of the man from Germany indicates an association with the occult, with the negative side, as well as we have a story documented that he went into the bunker with 5 people, or what, 10 people, whatever the number is, and there were people outside the door and nobody came out. There was no other way in but the front door to the bunker. And when they went into the bunker, 9 of the people were dead, and he was not there. That is his death. That is the documentation of his death. Zohar would explain that he was a manifestation of negativity. He was no longer human. And therefore, when it was time for him to leave, when this part of the process was over, he left. Because he was doing his job as a negative angel. A negative angel does not want to win. That's what people don't understand. Negative angel doesn't want to win. It's not his job.
Win in effect, like victory. Like
right. Between good and evil. Evil knows it can't win. Evil knows it won't win. Evil knows that's not what the war is. The war between good and evil is built with the desire to receive for oneself alone. The purpose of the negative side is to give you free choice. The purpose of the negative side is to lengthen the process. The purpose of the good is to shorten the process. The process, we told you, we're all going to go back to the endless world. The question is, do we do it in one cycle or in many cycles? We do it in 6,000 years or we do it in one day. It's all up to our consciousness and our free choice. The negative side serves the purpose of giving you free choice. So the guy from Germany, who I grew up being taught to hate, I've come to understand he was just doing his job. Hashem said to him, go, create this chaos. These people have created their own chaos. Manifest it. Go do your job. Lengthen their process. That's what he did. Could it have been stopped? There are writings throughout the Sephardic world, the Ashkenazi world. We see a black cloud over Europe. Dream after dream after dream after dream. Who did they tell? Well, maybe they told their congregations, maybe they didn't. But it never got circulated that people knew it. And here, the black cloud manifested. Did it have to? The dreams were there to make change. If the people had done tshuva. What story do we have about tshuva? We have a number of stories of tshuva in the Torah. One of them is the city of Nineveh. The prophet Jonah. Jonah's upset with God. Why? Because he prophesies that the city of Nineveh will be destroyed in 30 days. And then he runs away because he doesn't want to give the prophecy. And then he gets asked to he gets in the fish, the whole thing. He gets back and he tells the king of Nineveh, repent. You're going to die in 30 days unless you change. The city of Nineveh, non-Jewish, they do tshuva. They're saved. No destruction. What has Jonah said? Why did you tell me to come? Why did you have me go through this process? Read the book of Jonah. It's amazing. She's shaking her head because I know she knows the story. But they didn't ask to answer these questions, did they?
No, you read the story, but you don't. There's a lot of questions.
Well, Fishen, we've exceeded our time, so I will see you on Wednesday.
You put out another thing for next Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, it's gonna be here, or
it'll be here next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be about restriction. This is the restriction. Wednesday night, we will talk about the 72 names of God and the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. Next Sunday, we will talk about restriction. And then the following Wednesday, we will talk about restriction. And then the following Sunday, we will talk about tshuva. When we get to tshuva, I will not be here. You'll be looking at a computer screen or listening on the phone. And I hope you will continue to do that.
You're on a computer. We have the class before the last Wednesday class. Is that on your computer?
It will be tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I've been remiss in getting it on the computer.
What's the That's www. How do you get to that?
www.yeshem, Y-E-S-H-S-H-E-M, as in Mary. There are two sets of S-H-H's. There's a total of 8 letters. It's yeshem.com. And then you go to a link that's right at the top, says Revealed Wisdom.
Revealed Wisdom. That will be, when
it'll be on the link, it'll be on. Well, it'll be on, this class and last Wednesday's class will be on there tomorrow.
Okay.
So to this week's classes, Tuesday at 7:30, I'm not sure really what we're going to talk about. Excuse me. This week's class is Tuesday at 7:45 LA time. I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but it will be something interesting because we are leading up, starting the process of tshuva associated with the high holidays. So we will start that process and see how that develops. Wednesday, there are two classes. One is at 7:30, which will be at Laura's house, which will be the 72 names of God. One is at 10 p.m., which is an advanced class talking about the mitzvah of loving the stranger, loving the ger. Thursday is a Zohar class, and since there is no Zohar on the book of Devarim, or on the portion of Devarim, we will be reading from the portion of Chazinu, which you will find quite interesting. Are there any questions before I say shalom and kodesh tov? Kodesh tov, shalom.